Hello, and welcome to Powering Through Life. I'm your host, Teresa Sims. My mission is to share the wide range of strategies people have discovered and adopted to power through their lives. Every Friday at 2 p.m., I will have a new guest with interesting stories and topics to share. Join me on Encouraging You Radio, Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, to learn, become inspired, and motivated. Welcome to Powering Through Life. I'm your host, Teresa Sims, and together with my guests, we share stories from people who have gone from tragedy to triumph. Each week, we learn new and important ways of powering through life. Today, my guest is Victoria Baird. Victoria teaches women how to rock self-confidence by developing and defining their personal style head to toe as an image consultant, master hairstylist, and speaker. And in her spare time, she enjoys a good book with a cup of tea or a glass of wine, cooking and entertaining family and friends. Victoria, welcome to Powering Through Life.
Hey, Teresa. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I'm really excited to have you here today. And I understand that you would like to talk about how you empower self and others through the power of personal style.
Yeah, we can work with that for sure, yeah.
Perfect.
It's been very important in my life, yep.
Perfect. It is important to a lot of us, and, you know, we need to make it an important part of our life, don't we?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So tell us when you discovered how the way you feel about ourselves or the way we feel about ourselves can be affected through style. When did you learn that?
Well, it was probably at a very, very young age. When I was a child, I think right from the get-go, I would say that I never felt like I really fit in. I always felt like I was a little bit different than even my own family. So I was the only blonde-haired, blue-eyed person in my entire family. My build was different than everybody else's in my entire family. I was never obese, but I was never little. And like my peers, you know, so many of the little girls that I played with were, you know, had long brown hair. They were lean. They were thin. And I always just felt like I didn't fit in. I was blonde haired. I was a little bit chunkier. I was more thicker build. And I just always did things a little bit different anyways. I always say that I danced to the beat of my own drum, I guess my parents would say, and I always did things my own way, and I always looked at things a little bit differently. So, yeah, I noticed very early that I felt a little bit different, and as I grew older, I realized with the encouragement of my parents were very encouraging for me to own who I was, and so when I chose to do things that would stand out a little bit, they allowed that to happen. So as I got older, I experimented with different hair colors. And I grew up in a very small rural town. So that really stood out. Or the fact that I would, you know, everybody else was shopping at Roots or Beaver Canoe, but I wanted to shop at Le Chateau. And I wanted to look, you know, more, I'm going to say, trendy is not the right word. I wanted to look different than everybody else. So I chose to own that as opposed to trying to fit in, I guess. Does that make a bit of sense? Yeah.
It absolutely does. It must have taken a huge amount of courage on your part to actually pull that off, because being from a small rural town myself, I know how difficult it is, you know, when you have only a certain number of people that you can hang out with, and, you know, if you don't fit in, you're kind of, odd man out or odd person out, and it must have been a real challenge for you, but more power to you for standing out and actually being who you are. So, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I always seem to identify with, you know, just the most non-common things. So when I think back and I think to movies that I was watching in the 80s, you know, I would identify with Molly Ringwald's character from Pretty in Pink, which was, you know, she had her own way of dressing and she wasn't a preppy or a, in that jock. She just had her own flair. That's who I identified with.
Okay.
When I watched The Cosby Show, I identified with Denise, who had her own flair and style, as opposed to, you know, the rest of the family that were, you know, just your all-American or all-Canadian average family. So those were kind of the characters that I identified with. And so, yeah, I figured out how to do that, I guess. I think the only time I really, really wanted to fit in was when I was very young, and especially when I had braces. And I had headgear. I don't know if you remember back to the headgear days.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to wear headgear, and it was the most embarrassing thing, Teresa. So there was a time where I really didn't want to stand out. But you know what? I've got great teeth now, so I guess it was worth it.
Well, it must have been worth it because, yes, you do have a beautiful smile. So you do. So would you have identified yourself kind of with the, okay, we're going into the 80s, the Cyndi Lauper type of style, or not that?
Yeah. Not quite that extreme. So I was always conscious of what the in crowd was doing. So I just pushed the limit that little bit. Not so much that I would be outcast. I had quite a range of friends and so on. And so I wasn't outcasting myself, but I just chose to set myself apart and be different than the mainstream.
Yeah.
Small town Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't blame you. I mean, when I had my children, I always encouraged them to be who they were and, you know, to be themselves and not be one of the group and not have to be conformed to somebody else's ideals and way of thinking. So good for you. Good for you.
Well, so, and you do have to have a tough skin because you know, you will get teased inevitably. You know, I did it purposely. With intention, I'm going to say, not purposely, but I knew what I was doing. And so sometimes drawing that attention, you will get, you know, lashback at people that don't like it or why are you doing this? And I, you know, I wasn't hurting anybody. I was just expressing myself through my style. That was it.
Yeah. And did you find that you ended up getting understanding from your friends and other people that were around you other than your parents?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I feel like I showed them that it was okay to be bold. It was okay to do things that were outside of the box. It was okay to challenge, you know, what we were told, what within the parameters of still, you know, obeying, you know, certain rules and obligations and things like that. So I think a lot of people admired me that I was able to do that and still be a good student and still be a good person, but allowed to express myself. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fabulous. So has your style evolved with life and business? And if so, how's that happened for you?
Absolutely. So it's probably no surprise that I went into hairdressing right out of high school.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned hair coloring and things, so I thought, yeah, that's
absolutely
a good one.
Absolutely. So in my last year of high school, every single other person I knew was going to university. Everybody else. That was the road I was supposed to be on. But my heart wasn't there, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go into hairdressing because it's a natural for me. It kind of just came naturally to me. But I'll do it till I can figure out what I really want to do. Because this was a changing point for me as well, because in those days, you only needed a grade 10 education to be a hairstylist. So there was a bit of a stigma in my mind for hairdressers that they weren't as esteemed or as smart. You went to beauty school if you couldn't get into university, for example. But I chose to go there anyways, and lo and behold, it was a fabulous fit. I mean, I've been a licensed hairstylist since 1988, and I love my work. I love the people, my clients. Like, it's just been a wonderful fit for me. But as I evolved, so did my clientele. And as I got older and older, in fact, it was, I guess, in my early 40s, I'm 47 now, that I started to want something more. And what it was I was noticing I was very well respected as a hairstylist, but I'd been a business owner and an entrepreneur for quite some time. And people, they knew that in the business, but that wasn't the first thing on their mind. And I had this awakening, really, that I thought, you know what, I want to be respected in my community as a businesswoman, not just a hairstylist. And so I did. I took a hard look at myself, and what was missing was that I showed up as a hairstylist, which was fine, but I wasn't showing up as a businesswoman in my world, right? I had, you know, I certainly wasn't scruffy looking or scrappy looking or anything, but I chose to polish my image over a couple year period, I'm going to say, where I just gradually changed things so that I looked more like the businesswoman that I am today, with still a flair, with still a funk, with still being my own authentic style. And you know what? It wasn't hard to do. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fabulous, because I can relate to the hairstylist, the grade 10 education, because that's what I had. And I actually went to hairdressing school when I was, I think, 18 or 17. And, you know, so I can relate to the, you know, not fitting in, not wanting to go where everyone else is going. But, you know, you have that creative flair that you want to give, and you have an artistic talent, but, you know, you have to find a way to express it. And for me, it was in through hairdressing as well. So, you know, but good for you for finding the courage to stand up and recognize that there was a change that was needed, and for recognizing what that change was. And, you know, as a business owner, you needed to represent who you were and your business, right? So you needed to probably
absolutely
change it up a little bit, right?
Absolutely. And I know I've shared this story with you privately. There was a time, well, as hairdressers, we've got a lot of flexibility. You know, people don't expect us to come to work in business suits, right? And nor do we want to. But I had gotten so comfortable in my career and in my business that it was a joke, an ongoing joke, that I would wear a hat every Saturday to work. Now, it was a cute hat, don't get me wrong. And I could pull it off and people would say, oh, Victoria, that looks so cute with your outfit. But the reality was, I wasn't wearing it to look cute. I was wearing it because I'd got lazy. And that's where I was like, oh my gosh, like I've become so lazy that I'm not even putting the effort into doing my hair every week on Saturday. So, you know, I just shifted things, and my life changed over a couple years. My clientele shifted slightly, the community. I ended up having so many community leaders then as clients, and shifting in that sense, in mentoring other business owners and back and forth, this type of thing. I mean, to the point where now this is why I'm teaching it and I'm so passionate, because it was just some subtle little shifts and people started noticing, wow, you know, like, and treating me differently, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. You know, it is difficult for a hairstylist to not want to do their hair, number one. So something must have been going on then, because, you know, we're not normally like that. And, you know, when I was styling, there was no such thing as wearing hats. We had to look perfect every day. We had to display the styles of the day, the colors, the cuts.
Right.
You know, absolutely everything. So we had to be on point all the time, and that gets exhausting after a while.
But, well, you know, and I think that's where I was. By the time Saturday came, I was tired. So for somebody that had long hair, I have short hair, that would have been, you know, maybe a nice sleek ponytail or whatever. But, you know, I could do it with a hat and have that style, a fashionable hat, but it was a hat nonetheless, and it covered my hair, so that was not good.
Right, absolutely. And it was probably your way of saying, I'm really tired, I just want to hide, and I don't want to show up 100%, right?
Exactly.
And I've seen the hat. It is beautiful.
I know. I keep it.
It looks great on you, by the way. So, Victoria, as an entrepreneur, a wife, and a mother, what tricks do you have in your little bag of tricks that you use to keep things in order for yourself?
Well, my husband and I have never had what I would consider a normal marriage. So I've had to have a lot of tricks in my bag. He was in the military when we were first married. So the first 16, I'm going to think, years of marriage, maybe not quite 16 years, he was in the military and he traveled constantly. Mm-hmm. Like he either traveled because he was on exercise or he was away overseas on a mission for 6 months. So that was our life for 16 years. We have a son. And then he went from there into the railway, and he's also a firefighter. So we've never had, up until now, he's never had a 9-to-5 type job. So I've had to be very well organized. And I thought for anybody, you just have to be. Mm-hmm. And it's probably a good thing that I'm type A, because I tend to be organized anyways. But just having things set up and scheduled. I love schedules, and scheduling anything, whether it's my own private time that I need to have for myself to go for a massage or a night with my girls, like girlfriends or anything like that, I schedule all that in, and I always have. And I've always made sure that I have had time for myself. So I remember even when my son was a youngster, I would drop him off at daycare just to go work out. So I would make sure that I had in my budget enough money to cover the daycare service. It was not on site with the gym that I went to. So I had to get an off-site daycare service for me to go to the gym to just have my alone time and my workout time all in one 3 times a week. But that did wonders for my mentality, for my spirits, for my mood, for my relationship with my son, because I was single mom essentially a lot of the time. Right. And I feel like structure and works very well for me.
Well, recognizing the fact that you absolutely have to have that time to yourself, too, and, mm-hmm. you know, that you realize that you would be a better mom and a better person and, you know, better entrepreneur and a better wife by stepping away for that little bit of time. It takes a lot of courage and practice, I would imagine, because, you know, not everyone can just say, well, I'm going to go to the gym now and my child's going over here. But, you know, being a type A personality, a very perfectionist type of personality,
yep.
which most hairdressers are, more hairstylists yep. are, you know, you do have to schedule, you do have to plan, you do have to coordinate, mm-hmm. and it's a godsend a lot of times, really.
Absolutely. I really think it was, and I think with our situation and with my husband being gone so much that I just had to. I had to schedule that, and I knew that if I don't, and I know me, for sure, if I don't get enough sleep, if I don't eat properly, if I'm not on some sort of normal schedule that's keeping me filled up, I'm a bear. So mm-hmm. it really is to everybody else's benefit for me to take that time to myself, even if it's just, you know, a couple hours a week exercising. It's for everybody's benefit, my whole family, my friends, my clients, everybody. You know, if we don't fill up our own wells, we have nothing to give to anybody else.
Oh,
and we think
true.
It's so very true. And so often we put everybody else first, but if we're not putting ourselves first, and that looks different for everybody, there's nothing to give. And at some point you burn out, and then you get resentful, and then you get cranky. And so, yeah, I've made it a priority in our life.
Well, it must have
and
been a
you
huge
know what?
Challenge. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to say, you know what? I think it was actually one of the best things I did for my son was showing him that he is an independent mother that isn't doting on him 100% of the time. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love him to death, but he needed to learn how to be independent as well. And I think that was one of the best gifts that both my husband and I gave him was to teach him how to be independent. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's true, very much true. And it must have been a huge difference for you and your son when your husband was home then, now that he's got the, or what you want to call the 9-to-5 job. So again, you had to transition. So
yeah, that was hard.
Like?
That was the hardest, actually. And our son is gone. So he's 25. So he's been gone for a few years. But when my husband, for example, when he was in the military or when he was in the railway or gone a lot, we, after learning that it didn't work, when he would come home, let's say he would be gone for a few weeks or a few months, we would just let him integrate into our routine. We tried the first couple times to be, oh, daddy's home, let's do this, we'll take a day off, we'll go do this, but it completely disrupted our routine, and my husband needed some downtime as well because he was in a very stressful job. So we allowed him to integrate into what we had going on and just let that naturally occur. Now,
smart. Very smart idea.
Well, it took a couple tries of it not working because when he would come home, we would want his attention because we were deprived of it for a very long period of time. So they basically latch on to him, but he wasn't prepared to give us what we needed because he still needed to recuperate from, you know, if he was overseas, you know, doing missions, right? So he needed that downtime himself as well. So it didn't work so well if we attacked him right away for love and affection and time. So we learned that over time. But then now with his his, I'm going to say, normal jobs in quotations, because he's still he's with the fire service, but he does have basically a 9-to-5 job unless there's a major emergency that he needs to attend to. And I now have a home office, and this has been probably the biggest adjustment in our 26-year life as a marriage, because we've never been in the same house for any length of time.
Well, that must be the biggest thing going, you know.
It has really been a challenge, because I was used to him being gone. And even if I had my day off at home and I was at my home office, he would be gone. Mm-hmm. So it's been, we're coming up to 2 years living in this house and me having my home office. And if I'm home and working at home, he comes home for lunch. So I will take the hour and have lunch with him. But it took, I'm going to say, at least 6 months to the first year to get used to him being at home all the time. I felt like I wasn't having the space that I was used to, which I know sounds horrible, but when you're not used to having kind of somebody there,
it was a challenge.
It was the biggest challenge of probably everything, because we weren't used to being together so often. So yeah, we've adjusted.
Well, that's great, because everybody.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
You had a lot of space to yourself, and you were the main caregiver, the main provider.
Yeah,
you are an extremely independent lady. So to have someone all of a sudden in your space making decisions with you right there, it must have been a huge challenge for you. But congratulations for, you know, recognizing that, taking the steps, you know, to work together, because in a lot of cases it would have, in a lot of cases, yes, it would have fallen apart. You know,
it could have really, like we could have, and he's not, when he's here and I'm in my office, he's not in my space per se. He's not overlooking my shoulder. He's not bothering me, but it's just having that presence that I was not accustomed to. It's the strangest thing. But I have my lunch now with him. I say goodbye to him in the morning. He comes home at a normal time. So we have adjusted, and it's lovely, but it's funny. Kind of, I say, be careful what you wish for, because when you get it, you don't know what to do with it. It takes a while to get used to it.
I can imagine. So that's great. You know, like finding your own rhythms, finding what works as a team, and then just taking the steps, making the transitions. And what would you say to our listeners? What would powering through life mean to you, Victoria?
Listening to your heart is, I think, and having the courage to do things and be who you are from your heart. You know, you have to take your brain with you, but I think too often we're basing our decisions on things that are, I'm going to say in quotations, the smart thing to do, but your heart isn't in it. And so we're making decisions based on things that maybe look good on paper, but we're losing a sense of ourselves, and people are, and I see this with my clients, I have for years, which is, I think, why I'm so passionate about people, because people choose things that just sound smart and it sounds like the right thing to do, but they've lost themselves. And so, I think powering through means having the courage to make big decisions, make little decisions, take steps every day, even if they're little baby steps into the direction of where your heart really wants to be, where you're feeling fulfilled.
Yeah, that's beautiful, because I know if you don't listen to your heart, you will be miserable.
You will.
You won't find your passion. And,
we
will have all of your information on our website, Victoria, and everyone needs to check out Beautiful You by Victoria. She does a great job. She's an incredible woman. And, Victoria, thank you for being a guest today.
Well, thank you so much, Therese. It was lovely chatting with you.
Yeah, we'll have to chat again, honestly. I'd like to learn more about just how you went about, finding the transition and the steps that you took, okay?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay, great. Thank you again. So thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Powering Through Life. Join me again next Friday at 2 p.m. on encouragingyouradio.com.
Thank you for listening to Powering Through Life. Powering Through Life is designed to help my listeners discover new ways to encourage happiness and fulfillment in their lives. Join me, Teresa Sims, each week on Encouraging You Radio to learn how you too can can power through your life.
'Cause I got angels on my side.